Acts 3:26. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus blesses us in many ways. He created us, he sustains us, he sends rain on both the evil and the good. His wisdom and goodness and the fear of judgment, even among unbelievers, all have a beneficial effect on society and civilization. He sends his people the Holy Spirit. His death and resurrection deliver us from hell and give us hope for heaven. He enables us to see the Heavenly Father and to come to the throne of God with all the blessings and hope of blessings that come with that. But in Acts 3, Peter points us to one particular blessing. This blessing is singled out as the reason Jesus was sent, turning every one of you from his iniquities, turning us from our sins, turning us from the way we would go, and putting us on a new course. We're naturally like Balaam, blindly driving in the direction that will kill him, or like Israel, to whom the Lord said, "You are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go up into your midst for one moment, I would consume you." But God was not content to leave them in that condition. It was to change them that he had chosen them and brought them out of Egypt and given them his law. And his lawgiver Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." And Peter says, "Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days." And Jeremiah 3:17, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil hearts." In the promised day, we'll no longer obey the demands of our sinful nature. We'll have a new nature and naturally do what pleases God. So, in what way is this a blessing? Consider the curse of sin. We are dead in our sins. We can do nothing to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:4-5. "God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." We are in bondage to our sins. Romans 6:16. "You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." We are separated from God, who is of purer eyes than to behold sin. Isaiah 59:2. "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." We are condemned by our sins. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. "The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what is the effect of this blessing? We are no longer dead in our sins, but are alive. Ephesians 2:1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." We are no longer slaves to sin. Romans 6:1. "You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." With Jesus' blessing, sin no longer separates us from God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." We are no longer condemned. Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Why did Jesus have to come to give us this blessing? To turn us from our sins needed something exceptional. It needed a sacrifice, and the sacrifice would be God's. We can't be turned from our sin without becoming a new creation. Romans 8:7-8. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. To become a new creation, we must die with Jesus. Romans 6, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And to die for men, Jesus must first live as a man. Hebrews 2 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And finally, to live as a man, Jesus had to be conceived of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin's womb, as was also prophesied. Matthew, quoting Isaiah, says, behold, the Virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And so in this season, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus as a man, we also celebrate the beginning of our turning from sin and the blessing that comes with that. For God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities.